Delightful prayer. Say delightful. What do you look like when you're delighted? No, I don't want you to tell me. I want you to show me. Give me an offering of what you look like delighted. Offer it up now. When you're delighted. Whoa, yeah, it's better than just a little grin. It's better than a Mona Lisa smile, isn't it? Delighted's delighted. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. See, that's the way God doesn't take any risks when He says, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it, because He knows that that requires delighting ourselves in Him, and you could never ask for anything that would be bad or wrong if you're delighting yourself in God. It'll be according to His Word. You got that? So coming to God in prayer shouldn't be something we do because we have a burden to pray. Now, burden, I realize especially charismatic terms, I have a burden for the lost. I have that. That could be a different thing. But I'm talking about this weighty burden that holds me down, and I've got to go pray. It's prayer time. And I got to pray, and probably going to have to pray a whole hour. Well, what a burden. It's an obligation. That's religious prayer. God says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Have any of you ever read the Hebrew blessings? And how many different things they bless God for? I'm telling you, you wouldn't believe all of the things. Bodily functions. If it lightnings, they have a Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. And they talk about, thank God for the lightning. God that gives bread from the earth. God that gives fruit of the vine. God that gives all kinds of foods. God that gives blessings in abundance. Everything. In everything. Say everything. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in the Messiah Yeshua concerning you. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but when I'm thankful, I'm delighted. That's a delightful time when you're thankful. Well, that should be the major part of our coming to God. There are prayers of petitions. There are prayers of intercessions. There are prayers of consecrations. There's all kinds of prayer. In fact, the Bible says that. It says, pray always with all kinds or all manner of prayer at all times. The Apostle Paul says, I will that first of all, and I believe he was speaking by the Holy Ghost, so I think God was saying, I will this. Paul said, I will that first of all, prayers, supplications, and giving of thanks be made for who? All men. And for kings and those that have rule over you. That we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Well, that delights me when it's peaceable and honesty going on. Amen? That's delightful. And so this is what this prayer time should always be about. Remember God said in Exodus 25:22. He said, you come and meet with me beneath the wings of the cherubim, where the cherubim's wings come together. He says, you meet with me and I'll meet there with you and commune. Say commune. Commune. What is it to commune? Well, the Hebrew word is davar. And literally it means to speak with you there. I'll talk with you. Does God talk to you? I say, does God talk to you?
Yes.
Well, He wants to. Somebody says, speak, Lord. And if we really could hear, He'd say, what do you think I'm doing? I'm talking to you. You're not listening. Pay attention. I've realized again this morning, I prayed for a while and I just sat for a spell. Just sat. And first I thought, well, you know, I'm not hearing anything. You ever do that? I'm not hearing anything. And all of a sudden, when I quit thinking about not hearing anything, the Word of God began to just come and roll over and over in my mind, and I began to think about how it fits together, how it works, and one scripture led to another scripture and another scripture. And actually, that's what I do when I prepare to speak to you. I'd have to tell you, I don't prepare a sermon. But I try to prepare my heart before the Lord, and then out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks. Now, I've come with some scriptures and very, very little else. Most of the time, I have very little. You could all take these. In fact, those notes that I gave you today are from sermon notes, which are primarily scriptures. And I took a few things out. In fact, I even took some scriptures out because I just wanted you to have a page for each one of them. And what these are for is for you to be able to meditate on these scriptures and realize that these are part of your scripture benefit. The benefits of God. Righteousness, sanctification, His presence, our shalom, or nothing missing, nothing broken. That He's our healer, our provider, our banner. And finally, the coverall of all of them is the shepherd. The shepherd speaks of all of them. And so as we meditate those, isn't that what the Bible says? You shall meditate upon them day and night, and you shall be like what? A tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also does not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what we're talking about. Meditation of God's Word. And I just want to tell you today that I believe when you get into this close relationship with God, this is what it's going to be based on mostly. It's going to be based mostly on what His Word says. You say, but I have problems. Well, what's going to solve your problem? God's Word. But I have challenges. What's going to help you overcome those challenges? God's Word. But I have sickness that's been attacking my body. What's going to help you overcome that? God's Word. You meditate therein day and night. Somebody said, I tried that once and it didn't work. That reminds me of the little lady that heard the scripture verse that says, you shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, and you shall have whatsoever you say. And she heard that, and she says, all right. Mountain, be gone. Still there, I knew it. Many times that's what people are doing to God's Word. They're arguing with it instead of agreeing with it. Will God's Word move mountains? Amen. Somebody said, but God was just talking figuratively there. Well, maybe He was, but I want you to know that He says in the last days, the mountains are going to be removed. And every high place is going to be brought low. Could that have figurative meaning? Yeah. But you know what I know? In the new Jerusalem and in the new creation, the Bible says there'll be no more sea. What does that mean? Everything's going to be flat. Right? Because if there was great depth, there would be sea, wouldn't there? Well, you can think about that for a little bit. Yeshua, in teaching us to pray, telling us that our prayer ought to be something that's not just a rote thing, but something that we do. He says, just make sure now that you don't get into thinking that you'll be heard for your much speaking. How many of you have fallen into that trap of praying, much speaking prayer? How many of you have the Pentecostal brand of Hail Mary full of grace, the Lord is with you? You count little beads? No, you have them on a list. And we just speak things and we say, and bless this one and bless that one and bless this one and bless that one, the way I used to pray when I go to sleep at night. Now I lay me down to sleep. And I'd end up and bless mom and bless dad and bless, and Aaron used to add, and bless the trees. Bless the trees, he'd say. That's why we had so many trees up here. He quit saying it and look what happened. We need to remember that Yeshua said, I'm going to give you a pattern for prayer. Did you know that's what he said? Pray after this manner or according to this pattern when his disciples came to him. He didn't say, now every time you get together, be sure you say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Did he? Never said that. He said, this will be a pattern. And he was a rabbi. who taught by rabbinical means, and he taught using demarcation. The Jews, when they teach the Word of God, they may quote a portion of one verse, and they have a very strong expectation that you're going to know the whole verse so that you can apply the whole thing. In fact, not just the verse, but its context. If that happens to be a chapter, that's what it'll take. And so, when Yeshua was teaching us how to pray, he wasn't saying, say a prayer. He was telling us, these are the demarcations of your prayer. These are the subjects that I want you to think about. And then when you think about it, let them expand through meditation. And so we say, as he said, Our Father which art in heaven. Well, we know who we're talking about right away then, don't we? Yahweh. And Yahweh is the covenant-keeping, grace-giving, merciful, loving God. And there probably are other attributes that I could bring in, but those are main ones that the Scripture tells us about Him. He's grace-giving, He's gracious, He's full of compassion, He's slow to anger and of great mercy. Those are words that speak of Yahweh. You all know that anytime you see the Lord spelled out in the Old Testament of your Bible in all caps, that word is what? Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. The tetragrammaton, the four letters of God's name, which we think would sound something like Yahweh. May sound more like what the Spanish, maybe more like Yehovah. I don't know. We don't know for sure. But we do know that that's His name. And He said, by this name shall I be known throughout all generations. And somebody had a big idea one time, said that name's ineffable. Shouldn't be said. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. Jesus said, or God said about His name, that's the name I'm known by. So we're talking about Yahweh. And every time you see that, that's what this beginning part on this is Yod, He, Vav, He. Reads from right to left. Yod, He, Vav, He. And so we looked at those names. And then we looked at Tzidkenu, which is righteousness. Mekadesh, which is sanctification. Shema, which is His presence. The Lord is there. We looked at Rapha, the Lord our healer. Yira, the Lord who sees and provides. Somebody help me. Nisi, Yahweh Nisi, our banner. His banner over us is love, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're more than conquerors through His love. His banner is what was raised up when Moses' hands were raised and Amalek was defeated, because Moses' hands were raised and Moses said the name of this place is Yahweh Nisi. And then finally Yahweh Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. Those are the names we looked at, and we began to meditate on the Scriptures which reveal those names. And we found that all of them have their basis in the blood of Messiah. They're covenant names. And covenants are always cut in blood. Right?
Yes.
And these are all covenant redemptive rights of ours. So we looked at that. Hallowed be thy name. Holy. Separate. Sanctified is your name. We looked at that. We looked at those. Now, this week, and last week we let you all enter in, and we're interactive on bringing out, and you're going to get better at this, aren't you? We're going to do it again someday, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to let the Word of God dwell in us richly with all wisdom. We're going to bring those words out. But today I want to move on to the next part of that prayer, or that prayer pattern that Jesus gave us, because He said that as we pray, and this is the way King James writes it, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. That's Matthew 6:10, isn't it? Now, what was Bob telling us about this morning? Romans 4:17. What was he telling us about? Who can quote that besides Bob? You don't have to quote all of it, but just quote the last part of it. Romans 4:17. Go ahead and put it up, Andrew. You got it up there. You're letting them cheat on me, aren't you? And what is that last part? The God quickens the dead, which means what? When you say something's quickened, what is it? He made life into the dead, didn't he? Gave life. Quickens the dead and calleth. Calleth those things which be not or can't be seen, can't be sensed, as though they were manifest. Riley, come here! And that little scamp's over the bridge back over there. Call. Well, how many ever think that when we say, Kingdom of God, come, thy kingdom come, what we're saying? Are we asking God to do something? Well, yes and no. There's a certain amount of petition in it, but more than petition, there's a calling for something that is not seen right now. Is God's kingdom seen and manifest on this earth today? Certainly not in full manifestation, is it? How many believe that it will be in full manifestation one day, and it'll look like the latter part of the last book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter? There'll be no tears there. How many of you know there are not any mortuaries in the New Jerusalem? Praise God forever. Hallelujah. No doctor's offices? Amen? Praise God. No emergency rooms? No jailhouses? Now what's that kingdom going to look like? That's perfection, isn't it? It's true shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, everything good. So when we call, and I wonder if you've ever thought that maybe this is what he was saying. By the way, the word for come in Hebrew is bo. And these folks have a grandson named Bo. And I always tell him I'm going to preach on his name one of these days, you know. Bo. Come. It also can mean go, but it primarily means come. Come. And so we say, Bo! Malkut Elohim. Come, kingdom of God. Now, do you ever think that maybe he meant for us to do that? To call for it? To call? Put your hands like this. Everybody, get them up there. Get them up there. Say, kingdom of God! Well, what's wrong with that? We'll say, Pastor, that sounds... We don't do that in my church. Yes, we do. We just did. Kingdom of God, come. I don't know if you know it or not, but I believe it's Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. God says that we shall say to the north, give up, and to the south, hold not back. Bring forth to the east and the west, bring forth my sons and my daughters from afar. Well, what is that? That's calling for. Calling for something I can't see yet. And I've been doing that for years at this church. I've been calling in resources, calling in people, calling in... God asked me one time when I was doing that, he said, well, what kind of people do you want to come into your church? Who do you want? And boy, you know, you don't answer that question quick and flippantly. Because I guess I hadn't really thought it out. But I sat for just a moment. And then I believe the Spirit of God began to well up on the inside of me. And I said, bring me the lame, the maimed, the broken, the halt, the blind, those that have AIDS, those that are hurting and have no hope anyplace else. And I'd like several doctors and a couple of lawyers and a few bankers. Well, have we had some of those? Occasionally. Occasionally. But you know, we really, that's what the body of Messiah, a congregation, is about. Is to bring together those that have needs. And then teach them from the Word of God how those needs can be met. Isn't that right? Teach them how to pray. Kingdom of God, come. Come, kingdom. Will of God be done in earth as it is in heaven. Do you ever think about that when you pray that? I'm praying for your kingdom, God. I'm praying, I'm speaking over this earth that the kingdom of God be established. Now, you know that prayer is going to be answered. How many of you know that? But every time you pray, some of it can be answered. Every time you speak it, things happen. It isn't just praying, it's saying, well, I know it's all going to happen someday regardless of what I do. This is kind of an exercise in, I don't know what it is, it's not futile, but I don't really believe for anything. Well, see, you need to start believing. When you say it, things are changing in the spirit realm. Is God willing that His kingdom come on this earth? Did He tell us to pray that? He must be willing, right? Then why isn't it all happened? Not in His time. First reason's time. Second reason? We don't believe, right? We're not trusting. But there's maybe another reason.
That we're not doing what God has called.
See, there's a process. There's a process. And the whole gospel will be published in all the nations, and then shall the end come. You know, everybody's got all kinds of signs they look at. There'll be signs in the heaven above and in the earth beneath. The waves of the sea roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Well, I've seen all those things for a few years. There'll be earthquakes in divers places. There'll be pestilences. There'll be famines. I've seen all of those for a number of years. Now, I have to admit, they're increasing. But the one thing is, the gospel must first be published in every nation, and then will the end come. Now, what does God mean by that? I don't know for sure. I know people think they're going to have it done by about 2015. But I'm not sure what God knows. Other people think it's going to be done by 2012. You've been hearing that, 2012? I kind of reject it because there have been so many false prophets speaking it too. And I don't know the day nor the hour, but I do know what's coming close. Kingdom of God, come. Will of God be done in earth as it is in heaven. I call those things which be not as though they are. In Mark 4:11, Jesus, these are words that Jesus said, and I'm going to give you a few of these and let you mull them over about the kingdom of God. He said unto them, talking to His disciples, His apostles that were with Him, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Say, mystery. What's a mystery? How many of you think there might be some mystery about the kingdom of God? Yeah, a lot. Just exactly what does it entail? The mystery of the kingdom of God. Well, if something's a mystery, does that mean it can't be known? No. What does it mean? At least there have been times when it's hidden. Let's see if we get any more on it. Luke 17:20. When He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Now, wait a minute. It doesn't come with observation. Well, if the will of God's completely done on earth, I think I can see that, don't you? So He must be talking about some other part of the kingdom of God or some phase of the kingdom of God as it comes on the scene. How many know it'll come on the scene before the observation will come? It won't come with observation, but it does not mean that there won't eventually be an observation, right? Will it be observable eventually? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's go on. See what He says about it. John 3:3 and 3:5. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Everybody understand that? Is that clear? If you're not born again, forget it. You're not going to see it. No, don't forget it. Get born again. Amen? Get born again. Verse 5, He says, He answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What's He talking about, being born of the water and of the Spirit? He's talking about being born again, isn't He? It's still a part of being born again. Mark 10:14. This was a case one time when a bunch of children came. They got in the way like kids do. Do kids get in the way? Yeah, that's the nature of little kids, getting in the way. And the disciples thought they were in the way when they weren't. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer or allow the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Has to do with children, doesn't it? Well, if you're newly born, that gives you a clue, doesn't it? A new birth. Then look what he said in verse 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Does that give you another facet of the kingdom? Have to be born again? You have to receive that kingdom as a child? How many of you think you're doing a good job of being childlike in your receiving of the kingdom? Don't raise your hands. Nobody might anyhow. Acts 14:22. Concerning the souls of the disciples. If I remember right, this is in Antioch. After Paul has returned, says he went about concerning the soul, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Whoa! I don't know if I like that verse. I may leave that one out, Pastor. I kind of, born again is one thing, but much tribulation? You like that? Is that a verse you're claiming? Lord, give me lots of tribulation, because that's the way I'll get in. Well, think about it a little bit now. What does tribulation mean, first of all? Tsuris. The tsuris. Tribulation. What is tribulation? Trial.
Testing.
Anybody see the Music Man? What is that little statement he says we got here in River City? Trouble! We got trouble right here in River City. Trouble. That's what tribulation is. It's trouble. Testing. Trials. Were you going to have any tests? How many of you have had a couple this week? You can raise your hand on that one, because I know I get pretty unanimous consent on those. Yeah, we've had some trouble, haven't we? What kinds of trouble do you have?
Unbelievers?
There's called persecution is a trouble, isn't it? What else? You'll have trouble in the flesh, the Bible tells us. We're going to have trouble in our flesh. You see, we believe in prosperity, but does that mean that we don't believe they're going to be testing with our money? No, we know there is. We're tested about money sometimes, aren't we? And I'll tell you right now, listen to me very, very carefully. I made this statement by prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me years ago and said, tell the people that the old rules are changing. The things that they have considered to be financial and economic reality are not really true. And tell them to prepare themselves. And now's the time that you need to be listening very, very carefully to the Spirit of God. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. But I'm going to tell you, it's not going to happen just because you happen to be here and be a Christian. It's going to happen because you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Say obedience.
Obedience.
Obey the voice of the Good Shepherd. That's why we teach about Torah here. Torah. Not law, but instruction. God's teaching, God's instruction. There is so much about how to handle money in God's teaching and instruction. Isn't that right? We need to listen. But then once you've got that hidden in your heart, then you need to listen to the Holy Spirit for timing. Say timing. You can do the right thing at the wrong time and it won't work. Did you know that? Well, investors know that all the time, don't they? Any of you know anything about selling short and over? Oh, that's complicated stuff for my little mind. But you know, God knows all about it. I believe there's a day coming, and I'll just add this in, that we're going to need to pull our finances out of the Babylonian system. And I don't know how to do it yet, but I believe the Holy Spirit's going to show me. be careful, because you know there's one guy that says do it with gold. Well, don't do it when it's $900 an ounce. We had a fellow one time in the area that decided to buy gold at its peak. That's not a good time to buy, right? But if you listen to the Holy Spirit, maybe gold will be the way. Maybe platinum will be the way. I can tell you right now that just having your dollar bills underneath your mattress might not be a safe place for them. Did any of you hear what happened in Germany before World War II? The money became so inflated that it was cheaper than firewood, and people burned it. It could happen here. Not trying to scare, trying to prepare. Amen? Prepare yourself. Listen to what God says. The kingdom of God is a kingdom that's over and above all of the kingdoms of this earth. And God's kingdom, I'm asking it to come. I'm calling for it. Come, kingdom of God. Come. Will of God be done in earth as it is in heaven. Tribulation? Yeah, there'll be trouble. In fact, the scripture says, with your eyes you'll see the reward of the wicked. With your eyes you'll see. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see. Looking at Matthew 6:33, Yeshua goes on and he tells us, but seek first the kingdom of God. So it's something we can seek. Is that right? If he tells us to, how many of you believe he wouldn't tell us to do something we can't do? Seek it first. What does that mean? Well, I want to tell you, I think it means something different whether you're born again or not. If you're born again, I think it means something different than looking for it, because it's already ours. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom to you. Isn't that what Yeshua said? Seek it first in His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How many of you think that the economic system could just absolutely collapse and that God's people would be taken care of? Just as simply as He took care of the 8 souls in the ark. Everything that was needed to live was destroyed on this earth. But God had taken care of His covenant people because they found grace in the sight of the Lord. Now get this one, Mark 4:26. This is again Yeshua talking about the kingdom. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. This is what the kingdom's like. Now see, I know this is one thing I can do to get ready. I can cast seed into the ground. I got farming in my blood. And I know about casting seed into the ground. By the way, I never did enjoy farming. My dad used to love farming. And I don't think he ever quite understood why I didn't like to sit on the tractor and come home covered with dirt. And sit there for 12 and 14 hours a day really bothered me. I never was a really good farmer. But one thing I know about farming, that if you put seed into the ground and you do it at the right time in the fall of the year, that come next July in Colorado, you're going to have wheat. I know that. It works. I never did know how it works. Do you? Oh, yeah, I know botanists can tell you all about it. But you know what? You still don't really know exactly how it works. Life in a little thing that looks like a seed comes out. First, it has to die all around it and rot. You ever dig something up that you just planted a while back and look at the seed? It's a nasty thing. But the life was on the inside of that and it came out. And God says the kingdom of God is like this, that you cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. And we've been discovering, and this is one of the key scriptures we've been studying on Wednesday evening, how that there's seed in the Word of God. Do you remember what Yeshua said about His words? Yeshua said, the words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are Chaim, their life. Spirit and life. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. But did you know it starts like a little seed? How do I plant this Word in the ground? You remember the parable of the sower and the seed? What did we find out? That the sower went forth to sow what? The Word of God. And the good soil is where? In the heart. Scripture says, my tongue is what, Bob? The pen of a ready writer. Or we could say that it's a planting tube. Your tongue is used to sow good seed into your heart. Are you looking and storing up for tomorrow? This is the best thing you can store, God's Word. Because I'll tell you, there have been people, how many of you know that 401ks aren't the way? How many of you know that the stock market's here today and gone tomorrow? But the Word of God endures forever. Kingdom of God, come! Will of God be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, what was it that we read? The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It doesn't come in where you can see it. How many of you prayed for something and prayed for something and prayed for something and you thought, boy, I tell you what, I've been praying for this. I've heard people say I've been praying for 25, 35, 40 years. Especially when you're praying for other people. Because their will enters into the situation, doesn't it? But you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and looked like nothing happened. And then one day, the manifestation came. And then, and this doesn't happen every time that we're blessed to know, then we heard something about the process. I had a brother, actually was another relative, not a brother. I don't have an actual physical brother. I got a lot of brothers. But I had a fellow that I knew that was related to me that I prayed for. As far as I could see, he got worse. Just got cantankerous and ornery. But he told someone one time, he said, Terry's been praying for me. I said, how do you know? He said, I've had all kinds of things going on in my life. And he knew it. He understood it. It took a while. Sometimes you don't see what's going on. Just like when you sow that seed in the ground, you don't see anything going on. But boy, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things going on underneath the surface, right? That's what it means, it comes not with observation. Eventually, it cracks the earth and out it comes. And eventually, if you watch it long enough, first the blade, and then what? The stalk, and then finally the full corn in the stalk. You'll see the manifestation of it. So the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. And in Romans 14:17, this is what the Apostle Paul had to say about it. He says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. And a lot of people, you know, I think this is one of the reasons people have trouble with people that confess prosperity, because pretty quick, you know, all we're talking about is what we can eat and what we can drink. And, you know, listen, those are all part of it, but that's not the kingdom. Those are peripheral. Those are the all these things shall be added. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what is it? Righteousness, justification, righteousness, shalom, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom really is. It's an internal thing, first of all, isn't it? And it all comes by seed, the Word of God. Then another scripture Paul brought up by the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 4:20, he said, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now, we've been doing a lot of teaching about what you say. It's important to say, isn't it? But get this down, you know. It's not just being a sayer of the word that gets things done. You got to say it. As God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night. Then you shall, what? Observe to do it. Is that right, Jonathan? Then you can do it. Jonathan brought that scripture to us a few weeks ago. And then he'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So everything comes into it, but it doesn't. It starts with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, this is a time to be full of the Spirit of God. Say, full of the Spirit. Listen, if you've been one of these people that receives everything through your head, it's time to quit. Your head's going to fail you. I could be nasty and say your little pea brain is going to fail you. You know, the brain's a powerful thing and it's a gift of God. But it's put there to serve the Spirit, not the other way around. And so if all you do comes with this... what is it? The natural understanding of things. If everything you do has to do with your mind, your will, your emotions, you're in trouble. Because the kingdom of God doesn't just come in word. That's where words come from, is out of that natural understanding so often. That's the word it's talking about. But it comes in power, and that's dunamis. That's the same power that Yeshua was talking about in Acts 1:8 when he said, "But you shall receive power." We're talking about the kingdom of God. But you shall receive power. The kingdom of God's not in word, but in power. It's time to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that means to be filled to overflowing. I believe that's talking about evidence of speaking in other tongues. I know the teacher told me that we'll all speak in tongues. No. But you know what? He was being disingenuous because he wasn't reading in context. We'll all speak in tongues in the assembly. No. But we'll all speak in tongues. Paul says, I wish that you would. I wish that you'd all speak with tongues. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. That's what Paul said. I believe that's what it's talking about. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me say this to you. You may say, well, I don't believe you have to. I don't believe you have to either. I believe you get to. And I believe you have a secret weapon that is so powerful. When you do, that God would turn it loose in you in a minute if you'll yield to it. That's what I believe. And I invite you to do that. If you don't do anything else, meditate upon it and find out if what I'm saying to you is right. Search the Scriptures. Search them diligently. Don't look at them through some man's commentary. Look at them through the Word. And let the Word interpret itself to you. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Wow. Didn't say you get to witness, it says you become something different. You're a witness. What's a witness? Someone that bears witness to the truth, right? Yeshua said, "The works that I do shall you do also. These works and greater works shall you do because I go to my Father." It's time to be filled with the Spirit of God. In fact, some have suggested that the Greek says, "Be ye being filled." And I happen to know that it's not just a one-time thing. It goes on and on and on. We read in Acts chapter 4 that after the original 120 had been filled, they came back together and they prayed, and the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word with boldness. Amen? Praise God. So there's something about this power of the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God. And every other scripture that we've talked about here, being like a little child. Oh man, I'll tell you what, there's nothing to make you more like a little child than releasing yourself to the Holy Spirit. Is that right? When you release yourself to the Holy Spirit, I tell you what, you're letting go of your control. You're allowing the Spirit of God to take control. That's why I said if it's all up here in your mind, you're in trouble. It's got to come up from your spirit. Well up. Rivers of living water. Jesus again said, neither shall they say, and this is the finish of Luke 17:20, when he says the kingdom of God comes not with observation. In the 21st verse, he says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. Does that talk about the Holy Ghost? How did that get on the inside of you? Jesus took up residence there, didn't he? He took up residence. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. And when the Spirit, when the Comforter is come, he will do what? Teach you all things. What was I just saying? We need to learn to listen to him. He'll teach us all things. He'll bring to our remembrance, and this is the thing I love more than anything else about God's Word. That when I start into God's Word, he always brings to his remembrance other things involved in it. It's amazing. You have a Thompson Chain Reference Bible? God has a better one. Amen. He can just chain you from place to place to place. It's all hooked together. It's a scarlet thread, isn't it? It's a blood-bought right that we have, the Word of God, his covenant. They won't say to you, oh, the kingdom of God's over here. And if they do, what did Jesus say? Don't go there. And they say, oh, no, it's over here at this. No, don't go there. It's at this meeting. They're having a new meeting down in Florida. You better get down there. Don't go. There's another one up in Canada. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going to meetings. But I'm telling you what. The Bible never said, these believers shall follow these signs. I said, the Bible didn't ever say, these believers shall follow signs. It said, signs shall follow believers. So anything that happens in Canada or in Florida or next door can happen here. Why? Because the kingdom of God is within you. Say that. The kingdom of God is within me. The kingdom of God is within me. How did he come in? By the Holy Ghost. When you got born again, the Holy Ghost came to live on the inside of you. He took up residence inside you right at that time. Just like he did with the disciples when Jesus came into the upper room. He walked into the upper room after his resurrection, and the Bible said, he said, fear not. And he breathed on them. And he said what? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And what did they do? Nothing. They received the Holy Ghost. They didn't have to do anything. They received. They were born again. But a few days later, and he told them after this, don't leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You will be endued with power not many days hence. Tarry in Jerusalem. Stay. Wait. And you shall receive power. Say power. Power. Something different than what happened that night in the upper room. You shall receive power. You shall receive the dynamic of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis, the great power of God. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Acts 2:4, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Say, fully come. What's that mean? It means it wasn't the evening of the day of Pentecost. It was in the middle of the day, which would be sunrise the next day. Fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly. I like suddenly in Scripture, don't you? Suddenly. There came from heaven the sound, say sound, of a rushing mighty wind. Where did that happen before? On an earlier day of Pentecost at Sinai, Exodus chapter 19. A great wind. Suddenly there came a sound of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. I believe that means that there was this amber burning that engulfed them. If you've ever seen the religious picture, you've seen that little Bic lighter on top of people's heads. They were engulfed with power. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled. Say, all filled.
All filled.
They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, I'll tell you what, you've got to be like a little child to let that happen. That's a fact. That's one of the hardest things I ever did, to shut up long enough to let the Lord fill me with the Holy Spirit. Most people have to speak up. I had to shut up. That's a fact. It's always been a bit of a hindrance to me. Some of you are saying it's about time for you to learn on it right now. I've never had any problem getting started. It's knowing when to quit and how. But even from the beginning, I could pray and praise God and just praise Him and praise Him and praise Him. And you know, I knew that I was running out of efficient things of saying, but I'd say them over and over anyhow. And all of a sudden, as the Lord filled me with the Holy Spirit, He just was like I was Zechariah. I lost my voice. And then I began to feel this clicking. A clicking. And as I yielded to it, oh, it was hard to yield to it. You know, on this side, it was the hardest thing I ever did. On this side over here afterwards, it was the easiest thing I ever did. But to get it done in the first place, it seemed so hard. But when I yielded, I began to just let the Lord take hold and take over. I began to speak with other tongues. And a tongue that I've never, ever heard before, and it only lasted a short time. That particular tongue, it became another tongue. But boy, I'll tell you what, there was no doubt in my mind where this was coming from. Nobody was putting words in my mouth. But something big happened to me. Something big happened. I became a witness. The kingdom of God is within you. It's a mystery. We don't know how. We don't know. We don't understand the dynamics and the workings of it completely. But it's in us. Oh, I'd like to be able to just draw you a nice diagram. Have any of you ever seen the Trinity diagrams? I'm not even sure there is a Trinity. Is there a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Absolutely. I'm not sure we ought to be calling it Trinity. I do know one thing. If you want to turn a Jew off, start talking Trinity, right? Three gods? Oi! I know there's a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I know that that's the way God manifests Himself. Yahweh God manifests Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't understand how. How many of you understand that you are a spirit and that you have a soul and that soul is surrounded by a body? There's three parts. How many of you understand how that all fits together and works? The Bible says only the Word of God can divide us under between the soul and the spirit. So you see, people, we're talking kingdom of God. It's a mystery. And Paul talks about that in Colossians 1. Talks about it, he says in the 23rd verse, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Say, hope of the gospel. Hope of the gospel. Now I want you to get this down. We're talking about the hope of the gospel. What is hope? A goal. It's the goal of the gospel. Or, let me give it to you another way that may help some of you mechanical people. It's a blueprint. A blueprint's a goal, isn't it? It's not the manifest thing, but it's the blueprint. The hope, the blueprint, the plan of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Verse 25 says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me to fulfill the word of God, even the, here it is again, the mystery. The mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations. Can a mystery be known? But now, say now. Now is made manifest. God's manifesting to us, His people. Not just to the Jews, but even to the Gentiles. Through the same blood. Through the same covenant. Even now it's been made manifest to His saints. That would be Jew and Gentile, wouldn't it? To whom God would make known, verse 27, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, say it with me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Kingdom of God, come. What's going to happen? As I'm praying through and I'm talking to God and I'm praying through these things that Jesus taught me and I'm speaking those words, I say, Father, I thank you that your kingdom is within me. Kingdom of God, come forth. Come and manifest. Come out and manifest. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, manifest in me. Not just in words, but in power. Right? Do you see how we're praying? Kingdom of God, come. You say, well, I just don't pray that way. Give it a try. Give it a try. Speak God's word. Your kingdom come. Lord, I believe your will is being done. And I pray this over myself. And then I'll get into Ephesians 1. And I begin to say that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened that I may know the hope of His calling. And the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And the exceeding greatness of His power in me, because I believe, according to the working of that mighty power which He wrought in Jesus when He raised Him from the dead. That's kingdom of God talk, isn't it? The kingdom in us. Praying a Holy Ghost prayer. That's what I'm inviting you to do. That's what I'm urging. I hope I provoke you to get involved in prayer like this. It's delightful. Say it's delightful.
It's delightful.
Look delightful.
Amen.
Give me a smile offering. Come on. Yeah, that's a good one. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not a tithe, but that's just an offering. Smile offering. Praise God. Stand with me, will you please? Praise the Lord. Kingdom of God come. Thank God for His kingdom. His kingdom's within us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. I tell you what, you guys are dangerous. Really, you're devil killers. You know that you tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means harms you? Amen. Did you know that?
Amen.
Did you know that you tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, you trample underfoot? Because you've made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. No evil befalls you.
Amen.
You're dangerous to the devil.
Amen.
Every time you get up in the morning, the devil says, oh no, they're up again. That's kingdom of God on the inside. You say, I don't know how to do this. I'd like to do it. Well, I'll tell you what you do. You just take these words, hide them in your heart a little bit, and then just get up and begin to speak. And you'll be amazed how God will start bringing things from His word out of your treasury. You've got a treasury. The kingdom of God's on the inside. Amen. Father, I pray today that you will reveal this. I recognize and know that only that which we understand do we get to keep, because the seed that is sown by the wayside, it falls on ground that can't sprout. The seed that is sown on stony ground can bring forth quickly but doesn't last because they don't understand. And so I pray today, Father, for revelation. Just as I prayed for myself, Father, I pray this for every member of this congregation and everyone that will hear this recording, Father, that you give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. If you want this, lift your hand up right now. That you give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they may know a full personal revelation knowledge, the hope of your calling, the plan that you have for them, their destiny, that they may know the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. Lord, the things that you provided for them to get the job done, and the exceeding greatness of your power toward them, the believers in the Word of God. Lord, resurrection power manifest in them today. Kingdom of God, come forth. In the name of Yeshua, we praise you for it, Father. Say it with me. Say, Kingdom of God,
come!
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Keep your hands in the air and receive a blessing today. The blessing of God makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. God says, speak this blessing over my people. I'll put my name on them. Hallelujah. Oh, what a covenant right. Now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance on you and give you shalom. And everybody that received it said, Amen. Amen. Praise God.